Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Got Seth and James here with you at 9:04 on the clock. We hope you're having a fantastic Friday out there. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
We hope you're having a great one. Enjoy. We got good stuff lined up for you throughout the hour. Going to get into some entertainment news now. We're going to touch on a couple of country artists, and we're going to talk about what's new on your small screen, new on your big screen.
Okay.
And we got some other fun stuff in there, too, about a sequel that might be coming. A little bit later, we got some That Ain't Right stories for you. Looking forward to that. We're also going to touch on, of course, our weekend schedule, update you about that. And we've got good stories of the day to wrap up the day. All that coming up for you. I wanted to kick things off, though, talking about Carrie Underwood. I don't have anything to talk about. I don't have anything to say. I just wanted to know. When Carrie Underwood won American Idol in 2005, she was given a convertible Mustang. Well, almost 18 years later, she still drives it. She said, quote, "When I have my car getting serviced, I'll get to drive that car. It always makes me want to drive it more because it's it was such a pivotal point in my life."
Oh, yeah.
She said that was the car that she used when she first moved to Tennessee and is very, very glad she still has it because it makes her feel good.
That's great.
Some people do this as a humbling thing, to always remind yourself of where you came from.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of celebrities do this. And it always seems to be your car they do it with. I wouldn't say famously, but Mitch Trubisky and Justin Fields, interestingly, two back-to-back rookie quarterbacks for the Bears, they do this. They, in fact, I believe that Mitch Trubisky still is driving that car.
That's great.
To just to make sure that they always have their feet on the ground, to remind themselves of where they came from.
Yeah, yeah. I want to see him with the beat-up pickup, though. That would really make my day.
I want to see them like at the on the side of the street, like, oh man, like, yeah, it's as well being humble.
Now I gotta repair this thing.
Probably should have thought this through. Interesting story right here. Miranda Lambert has spent two decades with Sony Music Nashville.
Wow. That's,
I mean, obviously one of the biggest, you know, careers in music history. I'm not just country music, like music history.
Yeah.
One of the greatest artists in music history, not just country. She spent that time with Sony Music Nashville, but this week she announced that she is leaving.
Wow.
She thanked Sony in an Instagram post and added, "I can't wait to see what my next adventure holds." There's no further comment from Miranda or Sony. I'm very curious to hear what falls out from this. What happens from this? Because if she's doing this to go to another company, there's a reason. I just don't know. The usual reasons are, you know, creative differences, money, a lot of that stuff.
Usually royalty issues. That happens a lot.
Yeah. Now, that stuff usually, though, we hear about that before we even hear about this part
generally,
of it, though.
Yeah.
So the fact that we don't know what's going on here or why this happened or anything is very curious to me. It could also be she's been doing this 20-some years.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe she just wants to work with a different company. Not every producer can work with every company.
Right.
So if you have a producer that you've always wanted to work with, but they can't work on a Sony company.
Yeah, exactly.
100%. You know this a little bit better than I do. Is there things I'm missing here, or am I skating over?
No. You've got it pretty much down. Because it could be. I mean, like, you know, we already touched on. It could be any number of things.
Yeah.
Like she wants to work with something else, or usually it's money.
Yeah.
I wanted to say that being 20 years with the same company is in the music business is remarkable, and I mean that because music companies tend to drop people like crazy. You know, if they're not producing, they're like, you're gone. You're gone. To have her say it, that's a little different. If you're an artist of that stature and you have the power to do that, yeah.
I think that's a great point. That's something I skated by, I think. That's a really strong point.
So, yeah, it's interesting to find out. I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, a bad thing. You know, maybe, like you said, maybe it's an amicable thing. I'm sure Sony doesn't really want to lose her because she's a big moneymaker.
Yeah.
You know, who wants to lose that, right?
And she's still selling. She's still very popular. So
yeah, she is.
Interesting to see where she landed. Because this was a surprise to the music industry. So that's got to be, if you're one of these other studios, that's like, Lamar Jackson becoming available as a free agent.
Free agency, right?
Yeah. You're going all after that. Free agency is going on in the music industry, too.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the NFL right now.
That's right.
Taking a look at this story, something that I think a lot of people were hearing about for a while, and then it kind of faded away. It is making the rounds again. Beetlejuice 2 might be in the works.
Okay.
It might actually happen. Wow. There isn't an official word from Tim Burton or Warner Brothers yet, so I wouldn't get too excited. But multiple sources have told The Hollywood Reporter it's in the works. Michael Keaton and Winona Ryder are supposedly returning as Beetlejuice and Lydia.
Wow.
And Jenny Ortega is in talks to play Lydia's daughter, because of course she is.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like she's become this generation's Winona Ryder or Christina Ricci. Because she's done one thing with Tim Burton. Like, I'm a big fan of Jenna Ortega.
Yeah,
I think she's fantastic. Don't label this young lady. Like,
please.
She's just starting.
Yeah, come
Don't
on now.
Don't go labeling her all of a sudden as she's this, or that, or whatever. Even in a complimentary sense of a Winona Ryder or Christina Ricci, two of my biggest crushes. I mean, biggest favorite fans. I love their work. They are incredibly good actors.
Yes, yes.
I don't...
Perfectly understandable crushes, too. Thank you.
You see, I got a type now that I'm noticing. I never thought I had a type, but the more I do this show, the more I start thinking I do. I think this is a cool idea. I don't know if it'll happen, and I don't know if it needs to happen necessarily with Tim Burton. I kind of realized as I've gotten older, I've really overestimated Tim Burton.
Mm.
I don't want to say that like he's a bad director or anything that. He's incredibly good, and he changed the game in some ways with directing. I haven't seen him do something in quite a while that I was like, whoa. It just seems like it's the same bit over and over and over. And that worked for, one director in history. Mm-hmm. Like, that's it. End of list. Like, even Hitchcock, changed things up. It doesn't feel like I get that with Tim Burton. And I've watched everything he's done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got off the Burton train a while ago. Because, some of his, Edward Scissorhands.
Oh, gosh.
And Beetlejuice.
What he did
Batman.
With Batman.
Yeah, what he did with Batman. Yeah. I mean, all really good work and stuff like that. But I think he lost me around, and I know I'm in the minority on this. He lost me around Sleepy Hollow. God, I hated that movie.
I
know that people like it, but man, I don't like it.
This is hilarious to me because you and I have so few things that we don't see, we don't share a brain about.
Yeah.
And I love Sleepy Hollow. I think I love it because I go into it knowing what it is.
Sure.
I think if I had watched it like once or twice, I'd have a similar feeling to you.
Yeah.
But because it's such a Halloween tradition of mine, I watch it every Halloween.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I love it. That and The Nightmare Before Christmas, another Tim Burton movie.
Another Tim Burton movie.
But not necessarily because I love Tim Burton. It's just more of that he was one of those early directors for guys like us that was doing something different. And as kids that were different, we were pulled to that kind of thing.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't the same old thing. He had definitely had his own style.
I'm curious to see how that goes and if he will be a part of it or not.
Mm-hmm.
But it does look like if we're hearing that there are names being attached to a project, but we're not hearing about those two, like the creator, there's a reason. Warner Brothers is probably doing some behind-the-scenes stuff talking about this and everything. And Tim Burton's, not only has his star faded, but his cred has faded a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Not just with box office numbers and that kind of thing, but he has kind of been known as not being the easiest guy to work with.
More recently about that.
So I don't know if he necessarily has to even be a part of it.
Although I'm going to take this with a grain of salt. I seem to remember hearing about this like 2 years ago.
Yeah, it did
like they
feel
were
like
talking, the Beetlejuice, the sequel's coming, and no, I guess there's still whatever.
Yeah. So. I wait too long, and poor Michael Keaton's going to have a walker as Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
It's not going to make any sense.
I love Michael Keaton, but he's getting up there.
Then looking what's new on your small screen and big screen this weekend. First with your small screen, the first round of NCAA March Madness continues today with the second round played out tomorrow and Sunday. The games air throughout the weekend on CBS, True TV, and TNT.
Without getting too much into it so we don't like ruin the rest of the hour, I have to say, how busted is your bracket already?
It is rough. It is rough. I purposely did not even look at it this morning because I wanted to be in a good mood when I jumped on the air. I don't know why I get my hopes up every year on this stuff.
Hope springs eternal.
I won one year and have never done good any year other than that one year. And you would think that I was like great at this or something, because every year I go into it, man, I got this down.
I got
this through. I looked at this and I got. So I had the big one. I had Arizona.
Me too.
But I didn't have Arizona. Where did I have Arizona going? I had Arizona losing to Alabama, but that wasn't until like the Sweet 16.
Yeah, so right. Yeah,
that's what. That's gonna hurt.
that's gonna definitely be rough. Gonna hurt. Yeah.
That is definitely a rough one.
That one and my other big. There was a couple other big ones for each. I can't remember off the top of my head, but yeah, Virginia was another one.
Yeah,
I'd picked them to go a little further, but
I did too. only another round though.
Yeah.
I had San Diego State beating Virginia in the next round. So that one's all right.
Yeah,
that might work out okay. I will say this: if you had Houston going far, I wouldn't feel too good about it.
No,
they had one of their star players go down last night, and it didn't look good.
I didn't either way. So, yeah,
Alabama didn't look that strong to me. So, you know, it's madness.
It's madness.
Friday on Netflix, the series premiere of the animated spy series Agent Elvis. Starring Matthew McConaughey as Elvis. There's a bunch of other big names on that one. I'm a little curious. I'll admit. I'm a little curious about that.
I want to know what he does with the voice, you know?
Yes.
Because it's Elvis has been done to death, okay? Mm-hmm. All the Elvis impersonators out there, you know, the kind of thing. I hope he just kind of does his normal voice mostly, because he's got that nice Texas drawl.
Yeah.
And I think that would work just fine without going way overboard with it.
Completely agree. I don't think he has to go too far with it.
No, he doesn't.
And McConaughey's a thespian. He's a true actor, mm-hmm. so he's not going to like do a hokey, you know, any of that stuff or anything. As a side note, greatest Elvis impression I've ever seen, movie True Romance. Val Kilmer plays Elvis in like a little scene, and it's the best impression I've ever seen of Elvis.
Really?
Best I've ever seen. Nicolas Cage also does an incredible Elvis. This is a really good one. He's a huge fan, though.
I always thought Bruce Campbell in Bubba Hotep did a pretty good one, though.
No, you know, I apologize to Mr. Campbell, one of my favorites. You're absolutely right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely good reference there. Friday on Apple Plus TV, the series premiere of Exploitations, covering 8 stories about what the future turns out like if chaotic effects of climate change are left unchecked. Ooh. The all-star cast includes Meryl Streep, Dever Diggs, Ed Norton, Kit Harington, Gemma Chan, Tobey Maguire, Kerry Russell, David Schwimmer, Forrest Whitaker.
Wow.
And many more.
Wow.
That looks really good.
I hadn't even heard of that. That sounds really interesting.
Meryl Streep is arguably the greatest actor in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so cool to see that she is kind of like one of those, as big of a name as she is and as popular and successful as she is, mm-hmm. that she's like, you know, I want to do something different. I'm going to start trying TV. I really like this show, Only Murders in the Building. I'm going to try out for that.
Wow.
And she actually auditioned for a part. Like, Meryl Streep does not have to audition much anymore, folks.
Basically anything. Yeah
literally
right.
anything.
People come to her, yeah.
She auditioned for that. I believe she auditioned for this. So, I mean, it's pretty cool. But to her credit, she believes, well, mm-hmm. I haven't done a lot of TV.
Okay.
So these casting directors don't know me. I need to kind of start all over in some ways, which she doesn't, obviously. Obviously, but no. I respect so much.
Yeah.
Part of the reason she is the greatest actor in the world right now is because she had to work so hard to get here, and she has not lost that.
Yeah, she takes it so seriously in a good way, not in that like over the top way, but she's very serious about it. Yeah.
There's a list of obviously an endless list of people I would love to work with.
Of course.
But if I had to choose, like there's 3-4, she's in the list.
Yeah, yeah. And plus, can you imagine the casting director she walks in?
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Yeah. What the? Well, she looks an awful lot like Meryl Streep.
This can't be.
Wait,
oh my God, it is Meryl Streep. Hulu has The Boston Strangler, a true crime thriller starring Keira Knightley and Carrie Coon, as two reporters trying to break the story on the Boston Strangler serial killer who murdered 13 women back in the 1960s.
Mm.
It's apparently a really like documented telling of it, too.
Oh, interesting.
Keira Knightley, not only a great actor, she chooses really good roles.
Very interesting roles,
Smart caster. Friday, the second season finale of Carnival Row is on Amazon. Also on Amazon, the series premiere of Swarm. It's a horror thriller about a woman's obsession with her favorite pop star.
Ooh.
Ew. It's created by Donald Glover. So.
Oh.
That sounds good. American Idol continues on ABC on Sunday at 8. And also on Sunday on AMC, the series premiere of Lucky Hank, starring the great, the wonderful Bob Odenkirk. As the chairman of the English department at an underfunded college.
Okay.
if great caster. If he chose a role, he did it for a reason.
Yeah. My favorite. So there's many actors out there who play fake rage really well.
Yeah.
Bob Odenkirk's one of my favorite. He does it so well.
I would say H. John Benjamin is my favorite at it. Okay. Very right after it is him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ed O'Neill as well does a good
one. Oh, yeah. He does a good one, too.
New in theaters this weekend, in limited release, Moving On, starring Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin. Also, Malcolm McDowell is in it.
Wow.
I just love that it's 2023, and I just told you there's a new movie featuring Jane Fonda, Lily Tomlin, and Malcolm McDowell.
Boy, they have been, Jane Fonda and Lily have been doing a lot of projects together lately. They must really enjoy working together.
That's really cool to see, especially Lily Tomlin almost got blackballed late in her career from My Heart Huckabees with that horrible incident that happened with her and the director.
Yeah.
They fought and everything. Lily Tomlin's too dead. Good. She's a treasure. We should be working. She should be working. Like, that's great. I'm very curious about this movie. Inside, it's rated R. It's limited release. William Dafoe, very similar to Meryl Streep, doesn't have anything to prove. Like, in fact, a lot of times you see William Dafoe kind of playing caricatures of himself nowadays. But he continues to push himself and take on roles that I see very few actors putting themselves in these situations, physical, mental strains to do. In this movie, Inside, that he stars in, he plays an art thief who gets trapped inside a New York penthouse when his heist doesn't go as planned. How long can he survive a heat wave without food or water, surrounded by nothing but the art that he can't steal?
Ooh.
It looks like a psychological mind bender.
Yeah, wow.
Just the trailer alone looks crazy. It's William Dafoe, for one.
First of all.
Yeah. You know where he goes with roles and everything.
Like basically a one-person movie for the most part.
It is.
It's all him. That's really remarkable.
I think those are some of my sneaky favorite movies, like Moon with Sam Rockwell, or you know, any movie that just has that Castaway, of course, famously with Tom Hanks.
Yep.
Like I never would have thought as a kid I'd like those movies. But Castaway really showed me something. We're like, dang, I get to the end of that movie and I'm like, I heard all my life, oh, this is the kind of actor that can carry a movie. And I've thought that about Tom Hanks.
Yep.
And then you literally see them do it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, his co-star in that movie was a volleyball, and I still felt he should have won an Oscar. Like it's really says something about that's the craft to me. That's when you see the difference of an actor who's good and a legend.
Yes, think about this: actors are so used to playing off each other. Having to do it by yourself, that's a whole different ball game.
Yeah.
Whole different ball game.
I look forward to that.
Yeah.
It's one of those movies I'll come out of it, even if it's a bad movie, being thankful I saw it.
Yeah, exactly.
I will grow as an actor watching that, I have no doubt.
And we have to remind everyone, Willem Dafoe, Wisconsin's own.
Yes.
He is from Wisconsin. So.
Wisconsin's
Appleton,
own.
Appleton,
right
I think, there. Is
Appleton,
where
yes,
from.
Appleton. Talks highly of Appleton.
Yes, he does.
Some people think that in some interviews he has joked, like said some sarcastic things, so some people think that he doesn't. No, I've heard him say multiple times how much he loves being from Wisconsin in the Appleton area. And Shazam! Fury of the Gods, rated PG-13, is the big one hitting theaters today.
Mm-hmm.
Zachary Levi returns as Shazam. Damon Huson in it as well. Love him.
Helen Mirren
is in this. Again, one of the greatest actors in the world.
Surprising, but she's great. Doesn't matter what she's in. She's awesome.
Lucy Liu, Rachel Zegler is also in it. This is the last of the old DC movies.
Oh, is this it?
It was Black Adam and this. These are the last ones.
Okay.
I don't know about TV shows or anything like that, but this is the cutoff for DC fans out there. From this point forward, it's a new world. They're going to be creating new stuff, new characters playing your favorite roles and all this. Going to be interesting to see how it goes.
The gun regime is now in place. So it'll be interesting to see how he does that. I'm actually, not that I'm planning on watching many of them because I don't watch DC movies, but I'm interested to see what he'll do with it. I'm curious.
I think it'll be good. I do kind of, I saw the first Shazam and I thought it was kind of a fun movie. Mm-hmm. I thought it was okay. It was way better than I expected it to
be. That's good.
You got Mark Strong as a bad guy. You're never going to go wrong. Helen Mirren as a bad guy, that seems pretty good.
I would take that.
I hope they keep Zachary Levi as Shazam and they find a use for the character.
Yeah.
Again, I'm with you. Probably not going to watch him either way.
Yeah.
But I think that like this is one of those ones they had a surprise success with.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that they should keep it going for the fan base. It also would be really good for fans to keep something.
Like something.
I understand the wanting to start over, but you lose people when you do that stuff. And for every person you lose, you got to hope to gain some. And it's not a guarantee these days. So I think the idea of at least keeping one or two similar, you know, common things for audiences would be smart.
They need some kind of connective tissue, at least a little bit.
That's a good way to put it. So, some connection and some consistency.
Yeah.
Audiences, people think way too lightly of that because we live in this 24-hour news cycle and those kind of things. Oh, it's just audiences. Oh, they'll just change. We can tell you something about that here at WFHR and how much you lose of an audience with every change you make.
Exactly.
We've had at least two of them, let alone that have happened recently and stuff, and we're feeling that. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, we've been very fortunate. We've gained a lot more than we have lost.
Yep.
But with that being said, I don't want to lose anybody.
Yeah, right.
Those are core audience members. Mm-hmm. I know those are people we care about and stuff. We want them to stick around.
But you're absolutely right. It does have an effect.
We'll take a break a little bit later. We'll talk about our weekend schedule and what you can look forward to there entertainment-wise. But for now, we'll get out of the way and come back with some more fun on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR. Seth and James here with you. Mm-hmm. And this could be a That Ain't Right story, or it could be the perfect way to celebrate St. Patrick's Day.
All right.
If you mainly love beer for the taste, not the buzz or the social component, you're probably reaching for a Coors Light.
Huh?
Well, Coors Light famously kind of doesn't really taste like beer. It's more water than beer, a lot of people say.
There's a joke we cannot repeat over the air that involves Coors Light. But to your point, yes.
And it is a joke that I have definitely made myself many times. I think I think I was 22 the last time I had a Coors Light. I think that was the last time. Coors Light is releasing a limited edition beer-flavored popsicle.
Really?
They're meant to coincide with March Madness, which just started, and they're non-alcoholic, so the whole family can enjoy them. Because that's what you want, your six-year-old with a Coors popsicle.
Get a nice taste, get that taste of beer early, right?
Yeah, great thinking, Coors. Nicely done. The popsicles are being called Coorsicles. Seth, if you could do me a big favor, I need a wah-wah on my soundbar here.
Okay, you're right. We need a fail sound
wah,
in there.
Wah. Yeah, I need one of those. That Coorsicles. Ugh. And they're available at more than 800 bars throughout the country, or you can order a six-pack through their online shop for $20.
What?
$20 for six popsicles. You can miss me on that.
You totally miss me.
They're only releasing a limited number of them every day. And even through their non-alcoholic, you do have to be 21 to order them. So you still got to be 21 to order them. That's hilarious.
Okay. Where I want to know the marketing meeting this happened at.
Yeah.
I wish I were a fly on the wall for figuring out what they thought this was a good idea.
It really doesn't seem like.
No.
They thought a whole lot about this.
No, they didn't.
Like, look at behind the curtains a little bit. Sometimes in radio, an idea will happen with an advertiser and a sales team, and they want to get it running that week.
Yep.
And that happens, and that's part of radio. That's Radio 101, being able to work like that. But most times, things are planned out and worked out and everything.
Yep.
But that's our small little radio station here, and a lot of radio stations around the country. But, it's a small station. I mean, and even we're able to plan and prepare things and have some creativity behind
them. Exactly.
Like, I cringe at the idea of how long they spent on this and they came up with Coorsicles.
Maybe something like Coorsicles, only better.
And I
Coorsicles, you good with that?
Yeah, I like that one. That one's better. You can also enter to win a pack at CoorsLight.com, CoorsLight.com. Speaking of limited college basketball products, Hormel is holding a contest where you can win a pack of bacon, which was smoked with scraps from the maple wood used to make this year's March Madness Championship court.
Oh, now that's interesting.
What is Hormel's website? I gotta get in on this.
Bacon, so that's a good start. But still, I like that. It's kind of interesting.
Hardcourt.blacklabelbacon.com. Hardcourt.blacklabelbacon.com.
It's hard to say,
That is a tough one.
Yeah.
But it's worth it. I'm entering this literally right now.
Air as we speak.
I am entering this. Yes, I'm going to try to win that. That sounds great. Now, there we go. There's
some marketing there.
That's some smart marketing.
Yeah, exactly.
That's some creativity right there. Coors, it's like, I mean, we've been making beer-sicles our whole lives since we've been 21.
Yeah.
come on, we've done this before. We used to do it with Boons and different things
that.
I mean, people have done this plenty of times.
With any kind of alcoholic beverage. Now, I have to say, Back when I did drink alcohol, I drank my fair share of Coors Light. Now, the original Coors, I like that.
Oh, the original Coors is a little different.
That's actually tastes very different, yeah, it's different. Actually pretty good. If they made the Corsicles out of that instead, I'd be more on board. But still, I'm not. No, maybe
nicely
not.
Done.
But
nicely
still.
Done. Nicely done by you, though. That was good. We'll see how this does. I don't know. I know that Melissa's news is coming up. We'll get to that while I fill out this contest to try to win myself this bacon. You guys go ahead and take a listen to Melissa's news. We also want to send a shout out to Melissa, Steph, our gang that is over at Midstate. Mm-hmm. I believe they wrapped up already the legislative breakfast. Yep. Hope it went well, everybody. And thanks so much for representing the station and being there and doing the great coverage that she does. Right here is a great example. Welcome back, everyone, to the morning show here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Good choice. Good choice. We go from 80s to 90s bumpers. We'll still use 80 bumpers, but...
Band that was big in the 80s and the 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
So we got to make sure we mention that.
Trying to think. Like, now I'm drawing a blank. Why am I not getting it?
Really?
No, I know who it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tears for Fears. Yeah, Tears for Fears. That's all I need.
Dead giveaway.
I love Tears for Fears. So yes. I was kicking myself for a second there. Good choice.
You knew who it was all the time. Had trouble coming to the tongue.
Was that one of their bigger hits, though? Was that
in the 90s, yeah.
That was big.
Yeah, it was a big hit. I couldn't remember.
Yeah. A great voice, memorable voice. Mm-hmm. You could tell right there that was a great example of that. And that's what we're going to get into right now. Seth and I have this great segment or this great idea. Rolling Stone put out a list of the 200 best singers of all time. Mm. We're going to tear it to shreds.
All right, let's do it. No. Yeah,
let's see how accurate they are. How much we agree with this list?
Okay,
and we'd love to get feedback from the audience. Feel free to email us or direct message us through Facebook. You know how to do that by now. Please do so. We'd love to hear from you guys. I'm going to start it right at the. Now we're not going to go through all 200, obviously.
Yep.
But let's look at the top 25.
All right.
At number 25, the great Mary J. Blige.
Wow, that's a good start.
Definitely belongs on the list.
Yes.
One of the voices of our generation, mm-hmm. and an incredible voice, incredible singer, very versatile. At number 24, Mr. George Jones.
George, very distinctive voice. Mm-hmm. You know exactly who's singing when he starts going on his songs. Yes, 100%.
Yeah. I don't even, it's not even my genre.
Yeah, me neither.
And if I hear George Jones songs I didn't know, I'm like, oh, that's George Jones, because I know his voice.
Mm-hmm.
Number 23, Smokey Robinson.
Oh, when Smokey sings, man.
Arguably low on the list, but we'll see.
In my opinion, it seems a little low, but yeah. Yeah,
I love the idea that these first three names are so like wide range and everything. Because Mary J. Blige, you might think more R&B. Yeah, it's sort of true, but more hip-hop R&B than anything.
Yes, yes.
George Jones, obviously country, and Smokey Robinson, one of the kings of R&B.
Yes.
Adele comes in at number 22.
Wow. That's a little low for her.
Interesting.
I'm curious to see. Wow, this is going to be kind of a list, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Number 21, Nina Simone.
Oh, wow. Oh, one of the that voice.
Yeah.
That voice. Oh, my gosh. It was so cool.
I immediately hate this list because at number 20 is Marvin Gaye.
Oh, no.
How you have Marvin Gaye outside the top five is a crime against all that is. It hurts my ears that I'm saying this out loud and having to hear it.
Oh, no.
I'm not even joking right now.
I
know that
you.
I go extreme sometimes for comedic purposes. I am not joking. I'm literally mad at Rolling Stone.
He's now mad at Rolling Stone.
How dare you,
Rolling Stone?
Not going to hold a vendetta. Not going to go that far or anything like that. They're not canceled to me. But that's incredibly insulting. That's a joke. Number 19 is Frank Sinatra. Number 18, Celia Cruz. And number 17, Elvis Presley. I don't want to say anything against any of those acts.
Right.
Great acts. Elvis and Frank Sinatra were more MCs than singers. People don't like when I say that because, well, Frank's got the crooner voice. He's one of the greats. Elvis Presley took pop music to a whole nother level and put pop, I know they want to say rock and roll, he put pop music on a different level.
Yeah.
And I have all the respect in the world for those two individuals and what they did.
Mm-hmm.
But most singers will tell you, they were not known for their singing. Mm-hmm. They were known for their presence and their character, who they were.
Exactly.
As human beings,
yeah, as a performer, as right?
As an entertainer more than this for their singing. If Frank Sinatra made a start on his singing, he blew his voice out early, and it was never the same. And Elvis was never considered necessarily a great singer.
No.
It was Elvis's presence.
Yep.
If Elvis wasn't Elvis and had that voice, we don't hear of him.
Exactly. You're 100% with that. And the other reason why I think it's curious that Marvin Gaye is so low, or is that he's, you know, I mean, still he's in the top 20, but as low as that, when you consider that in recent years, what's going on, his landmark album has been considered, has replaced the Beatles as like the greatest album ever made.
I have no argument with that.
So, and which makes sense to me too. If you listen to that entire record, I mean, I'm on board with that completely. And so I maybe they're looking at, I don't know what the criteria is for this. It's just, you know, what they use if they just interviewed, you know, like asked a bunch of people, you know, and say, who do you think is the best singer? Give us a list kind of thing. So.
Quote, keep in mind that this is the greatest singers list, not the greatest voices list. In all cases, what mattered most to us was originally influence, the depth of an artist's catalog, and the breadth of the musical legacy.
Okay.
So that makes that helps a little bit
yeah,
in context with some of this.
Right.
Certainly Elvis Presley, Frank Sinatra, bigger careers than Marvin Gaye.
Yeah.
No argument
in terms of that. And and Marvin was really not that well. I mean, he was not the best live performer.
Yeah,
he was good, but he was not a guy that like held the audience in the palm of his hand.
No,
he wasn't that kind of guy.
He wasn't a mover and shaker.
No,
he wasn't a dancer.
Had to overcome a lot of stage fright, in fact, to get in front of people to sing. But
there's a reason. One of the more famous, to me, my favorite national anthem ever is the one that he did at the All-Star Game and the LA Forum and all that, the famous one.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got sunglasses on, and I've heard people complain, why is he wearing sunglasses indoors? Because he had stage fright.
Yep.
It was a way for Mitch Hedberg did a very similar thing. A lot of guys wear Richard Belzer. Richard Belzer did this for a long time too.
Yep.
A lot of guys do this where they wear sunglasses on stage because it helps you a little bit. Helps people get over stage fright a little bit.
It's funny if you listen to the early days of Motown when they would do those road shows. You know, they would take all the guys, people on the road. They used to beg Marvin, open your eyes. Mm. He would sing with his eyes closed on stage.
Yeah.
Like, please. And it took him a while. He got there.
Yeah.
But it was a struggle for him, in other words. Yeah.
So Elvis Presley at number 17. Mm-hmm. And number 16, Prince.
Ah, yeah.
Again, could see him being a little higher, but I get it.
But dynamic performer.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, yeah. One of the greats.
Yeah.
Number 15, Bob Dylan. The fact that Bob Dylan is higher on this list than Marvin Gaye, I know it's not about voices or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But please tell me that there is one person out there that listens to Bob Dylan because they love his voice. Tell me there's
that's
one
gotta
person.
Be tough.
You tell me there's one person and I'll stop right here. But there is nobody in human history that has ever heard Bob Dylan sing and say, you know what? I want him singing at my wedding. You know, I want him singing when,
here comes the bride, all dressed in white.
No. But Dylan famous for a lot of things, not his voice.
Not his voice,
Not in a good way, at least. Not for good
reasons. I've heard him live when I used to work at an arena. And not that great.
Freddie Mercury comes in at 14. Certainly, one of the greater voices we've heard.
Yes, for sure.
Now, my top three voices of all time, all three are in here. Billie Holiday, Patsy Cline, and Marvin Gaye. Patsy Cline comes in at number 13.
Nice.
And rightfully so.
Yeah.
I think, again, on my list, obviously, she's higher. I just gave it to you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it works. John Lennon at number 12. Memorable voice, not maybe known as a great singer per se, but still a memorable voice.
And hated his own singing.
Yeah.
He was his worst critic. He hated the sound of his voice, but
Little Richard at number 11. Yeah. No argument.
Very
here.
Influential to be sure.
Number 10, Al Green, the great.
See
the
now that one is, that's good. That's good because Al, but oh man. Mm.
Gets lost in the shuffle with so many voices.
Mm-hmm.
Another one that kind of does too, Otis Redding.
Oh, and I'm happy to see those two guys in the top 10 because, yeah, for sure.
Now, voice alone, I would say, oh, yeah, Otis Redding should be much higher in the list than a Freddie Mercury, Prince, Elvis Presley, Frank Sinatra. I get it. But when they're talking about this like it's about more than that, like it's the body of work and all that. And yeah. Unfortunately, Otis Redding's life was cut short.
Yes.
He had nowhere the body of work that any of those other acts did. So what are they doing here?
That's true. Although, if you get a chance, check out live footage of Otis Redding.
Yeah.
And you will, I mean, it's like nothing you have ever seen in your life. Yeah. It's like going to church. Yeah. Literally going to church. Yeah.
Beyonce at number 8. It's a good one.
Yeah.
Queen Bee got a great voice.
Yes.
Just outside the top 3 for me, Mr. Stevie Wonder comes in at number 7.
Yeah.
Love me some Stevie.
No question about influence there either.
Yeah. Yeah. And you talk about a long body of work, a huge body of work. When you're 14 or 13 or whatever.
Yep.
He's literally still working.
Yep.
That's crazy. Ray Charles at number 6.
No. Oh.
No argument here.
No.
Number 5, Mariah Carey. Again, body of work.
Body of work.
I thought we were going away from The Voice, and we were talking about the body of work.
Yes.
Mariah Carey, famously, not a great live performer.
No.
And not an original songwriter. And, I mean, yes, she's got a very memorable voice.
For sure.
But I thought this wasn't about The Voice, so.
Well, if it has to do with success, there's no question about that either, though.
Good point.
Because if she sold a lot of records.
Very solid point. Yep. Yes, that's a very good point. Number 4 on the list, Billie Holiday.
That's where she should. I mean, I know she's on the top for you, but that's good. Where she should be.
In 2023, Billie Holiday is still making the top 5 on a list like this.
Makes sense.
That's beyond impressive to me.
Yeah.
That is incredible to me. Sam Cooke at number 3.
Oh, man. You know, I think of all the voices we've mentioned, you know, Marvin and Al Green and Otis Redding and all of those guys. Sam Cooke.
Yeah.
He was the one. I think I got to agree. He's got to be top 5, man, for me anyway.
I get it. It's hard to argue. As much as I love Marvin Gaye, it's hard to argue that. Like, Sam Cooke, that guy's voice, that his career.
There was something about it.
Well, and again, going back to the live performing, like Sam Cooke.
Oh,
that's
my gosh.
One.
Yeah, another whip performer, yeah.
We think about it mostly with like heavy metal or punk concerts and stuff like that, but you couldn't go to an R&B concert in the 60s or 70s and not leave tired.
Are you kidding me?
You were moving. You were definitely bopping around. You were enjoying yourself.
Wasting a Time Machine? I want to go back and I want to go to one of the Stax Records reviews that they had. Sam and Dave, Otis Redding, Wilson Pickett. Are you kidding me? That would have been like, you'd have been like wasted by the end. And not even with alcohol, just tired because of all the stuff going on, man.
We lost our way with Sleepy Hollow. We found our way back. Here we are again. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Great one, brother. Great idea. We are doing that. We are building a time machine just so we can do that. We apologize to humanity for not using it for good reasons.
Totally wasted. Very apologize
for wasting the time machine. It's one of my favorite things, wasting a time machine. What would you do if you could waste a time machine?
Yep.
The top 2 voices, pretty understandable. Whitney Houston at number 2.
Mm-hmm.
And at number 1, the Queen of Soul. Who else would it be? Aretha. I love that while she isn't known by Aretha, that I don't even have to say like Aretha Franklin, like you know who I'm talking about. I say Queen of Soul, I say Aretha, you know.
And you know, the other thing I want to point out here is that the top 10 is loaded with African Americans. And that, to me, what that says is the influence they've had on our popular music in the United States.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I like about this list, is that it shows, you know, what our music is.
Solid point.
It really has a lot to do with the African American community.
You try taking, look at everything that you hold dear, look at everything that you hold close entertainment-wise, movies, TV, music, whatever it might be. Take African-Americans out of that. Take immigrants out of it. Take any other creed that you are not out of it and see what you're left with.
Yep.
And you could do it vice versa, too. You could do that with, any European creed or anything
exactly.
as well.
Euro-Americans,
We need all of each other. Everybody. We need everybody.
Yep.
We need everybody. I don't know what I did.
Everybody.
I don't know what that was. Fix that in post, would you? Would you fix that?
We need everybody to go.
We need everyone. I'm going to talk like this the rest of the show so I don't mess up any more words.
I'm Kent Brockman with.
Yes. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Have some more fun in the morning show. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James here with you to take it to the top of the hour, where we will have CBS News come in. We'll have a weather update for you. And then we'll have one more morning magazine for the week. We will kick things off with State Senator Patrick Teston joining us. Looking forward to that. Straight off the legislative breakfast.
Yeah.
Pat's going to call in. Looking forward to that. And in part two, we're going to talk to our friends at the League of Women Voters. We have Mary and Catherine joining us. So looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Catherine, of course, the new director over at McMillan Memorial Library.
Yeah.
Second time she gets to come into studio.
That's
here.
Cool.
And Seth, I did want to touch on our weekend schedule a little bit.
Sure.
Of course, March Madness going strong. Just a little bit later today on WIRI at 1:15, Marquette men's basketball as they take on Vermont and win. You better win,
they
Marquette.
They better win, Marquette.
Better win that game, Shaka. Get that game on, Shaka. And then on Sunday, we have more Wisconsin basketball as they continue on in the NIT tournament. Our pregame will start at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., tip off for Wisconsin versus Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Wisconsin's got that one, but who knows? It's the NIT, and it's basketball this year. Who knows?
Man, it's insane.
When Marquette wins today, they will play again on Sunday. We'll know more throughout the weekend about where they're playing.
Mm-hmm.
I would encourage people to keep an eye on the March Madness and see who's going to be playing who and that kind of thing, and you'll have a better idea of when this is going to be broadcast.
Exactly.
We'll talk it all about all of it on Playmakers on Monday. Big shout out to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, sponsoring Playmakers.
Talk about Princeton.
Yeah.
Wow, Princeton. Yeah. Wowza.
Princeton's got a couple of upsets in their history.
Yeah.
One I don't want to talk about because it happened against the Hoyas, so I hate it. This, of course, all this means that our weekend schedule could be a little bit flux as far as like the Sunshine Polka Show. Now, that will play at 7 in the morning tomorrow.
Yep.
That will be fine.
Yep.
The 1 o'clock time on Sunday, probably not.
I'm guessing that'll probably be preempted by the Badger game, or at least part of it, maybe the end. Who knows?
Yeah.
We'll see.
But keep that in mind. So get your polka fix set tomorrow morning at 7. It does look like Over the Back Fence going to go strong this Saturday, so join Seth for that. I'll be around next Saturday, so you've got that to look forward to. Be sure to join us for Over the Back Fence, 11 to noon, every Saturday. It's your call-in show to call in with the items you're looking for and items you want to sell.
Yeah.
Just call up and say hi. We have the, of course, Seth Faces the Music on Sunday, 6 to 8. Director's Cut right after that. Seth, you got a theme this week?
I do. I'm continuing on my basic four elements series. So water.
Nice.
It's water this week.
Nice.
Lots more songs about water than I knew out there.
I can only imagine the way you scour the everything and find all this stuff.
I did, and I'm just a little worried about Earth. One, I don't know. I might be really scraping the barrel for that one, but we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Nothing but raw earth, wind, and fire cuts. That's all it is.
That's
whole
right.
Hour of that.
And rare earth. That's it. Yes, rare earth, wind, and fire. That's all.
Man for man's earth band.
I might have to expand it to dirt. There's a lot more songs about dirt, so I might have to throw a few of those in there.
Got a whole album named Dirt from Alice in Chains.
That's true.
Join Seth every Sunday for Seth Faces the Music. And thank you so much to everybody who spread the word about the show and supporting it and everything. We've gotten a lot of great feedback over that show over the last year and a lot of fans of that show.
Good.
And, of course, after that, we have Director's Cut from 8 to 9. We've got a really fun, special show lined up this Sunday.
We do. Mr. Joel Goodness.
Yeah.
Well-known. I just saw Joel last weekend.
Oh,
he came
cool.
to the show at WRCT.
Yeah,
I was helping out there. So I saw him there because I believe his brother was in the show.
Oh,
Matt.
Yes. That's right. Yes. Yeah.
So he came to see his brother. But we talked with Joel a little while ago, but it's basically just asking him about his journey as an actor, his career, all the cool things that he's been in and been involved with. It's a really neat conversation. We could have made it 2 hours long.
We could have.
We could have easily.
Joel shared a lot with us.
Yes, he did.
It's something that I want to continue to do, an actor series where you've seen Inside the Actor's Studio. You've seen interviews with famous actors all the time.
James Lipton.
I want to talk with actors that have grinded through it and had a career, while maybe not the most celebrated career, have had a career in the industry and to show people how you can do this. Seth and I are hoping to talk with Kristen Bry, who has a similar backstory as well, being an actress and everything.
Yep.
So we're going to have a couple of actors like this on over the time that we do Director's Cut.
I'm 100%.
Joel is our first one, and a big shout out to one of my favorite people, Joel Goodness, joining us. Join us for that Director's Cut. this Sunday, 8 to 9, going to be a good one. Seth and I, a little behind the curtain look here, Chris Lee is coming in a little later this afternoon to record a director's cut. Mm-hmm. Chris Lee will be on next Sunday's director's
cut. That's right. If you remember him, Hoozle's Rise to Music, he was on WFHR last year, and we're looking forward to having him in again.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Thank you for supporting Director's Cut, everybody. Yes. We greatly appreciate it. We are humbled by that. We appreciate you following on the show. Of course, all these shows, if you can't catch them in real time, have no fears, my friends. You can just get them at the Civic Media website or the Civic Media app.
Yes.
Encourage you to try both. You can go to civicmedia.us. That's civicmedia.us. There is all of our shows there, all of our stations, our coverage area, and of course, all of our shows are podcasted. Mm-hmm. And a big shout out to Seth and the great work he does on that.
Yes, and don't make me angry, because I'm the one that comes up with the titles and the little blurbs on there. Just saying.
It's the whole reason I'm nice to him.
That's right.
Good stories of the day here. An 85-year-old guy who recently surprised his wife by reproposing to her at Disney World. Their names are Ted and Doris, and they've been married 60 years. Mm. The daughter got the whole thing on video. It hits my romantic heart. Nice. That's so sweet.
That's nice.
The bad news about this one is Make-A-Wish is changing its policy. So having cystic fibrosis won't automatically qualify kids for Wish anymore. The good news is it's because treatments for it have gotten so good, it's not nearly as deadly as it used to be.
That's good news.
That's very good news.
Yes.
That's a really cool thing to actually have happen.
I would trade any wishes. I bet you one of the big wish for the parents that had to deal with that was, I wish my kid could be better. And this is good news.
Yeah, you never know what a kid is going to wish, but I guarantee Seth is right about what every parent would wish.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is a good story of the day. A shout out to Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Yes.
Just for the heck of
good
it, just
them.
Want to send a shout out to them because they're awesome. And one more good story of the day for you here. A woman in Oklahoma named Mitzi Brogdon, great name, was driving when she saw a sad dog standing alone in the parking lot. So she pulled over, started following it, and it led her to 16 puppies that were hiding under a tree.
Oh, my goodness.
The dog is now named Dolly. It turned out the puppies were from three different litters, so she had been taking care of about a dozen that weren't even her own.
Wow.
Mitzi happens to be the director of a group called Street Dog Rescue and Recovery.
Of course.
There are no coincidences.
No.
So Dolly and all 16 puppies are being put up for adoption. Mm-hmm. I have seen a couple of stories recently that say that a handful of these dogs have already been adopted.
Nice.
They're all healthy and doing well.
Nice.
How cool is that? Two good stories in one right there, because this dog is a good story.
Yes.
Watching over dogs that weren't even their own.
Yeah.
Had no room or board or anything like that, and his dog's just doing its thing.
Hey, we can learn something sometimes from animals.
Darn
sometimes.
Right. Darn right. And a shout out to Mitzi, too, for the great work she's doing there.
Yes, absolutely.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Seth, thanks so much for hanging out with me and putting up with me the last 3 days. I will pay for your therapy.
Oh, have a good weekend, everybody. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, everyone. Join us next week for more mornings with WFHR. Stick around for Morning Magazine right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.